purpose. Open enrollment is going on right now. And I'll share some details with you guys about the school in terms of registering and things like that. But I've asked Joey and Judy to come up and just share a brief testimony of what the school has done in their lives. So,
okay. He's like, ladies first. And I'm so nervous. It's hard to. There's so many wonderful things to say. Being under the leadership of Pastor Marla and the internship, they create an amazing, safe place of love. And when you're under that covering, God can do amazing things in your heart and in your life. So we were permissioned to be ourselves, to grow. And when God led us to go to the school, we were debating, well, maybe you go first, I go first, how can we afford it? But when we gave God our yes, he used someone to bless us and pay for half of our tuition. So if he's leading you to this, just know it's not just for you, because it's been a blessing to see our kids activated. When we started the school, they were 10 and 12 years old. And just to see them flow in the prophetic and gifts, it's like, wow, God's like, you weren't just doing this for you. You were doing this for your family and anyone else you encounter. So I just want to encourage you and let you know that someone is waiting for your yes. And when you say yes to your calling, it activates someone else's calling.
That's so good. Amen.
Yeah, like my wife said, it was a hard decision for us. How many of you guys have ever prayed that prayer? God, Jesus, I just want to be more like you. Right? It's hard to be more like him when you don't have the freedom and the opportunity to grow in him. And that's what the school really does provide. And what we've been placed in is under great leadership, so it provides a covering. And I don't know if you understand this, and maybe you've seen a lot of it with the activations on Sunday, but that covering gives you legal access to everything that they have. And that flows from the Father. So I just want to encourage you, if you're even pondering it today, if you're even thinking about it, if it's even a thought, ask God, say, God, is this for me? And if he tells you yes, and he gives you even a semi-green light, you give him that yes, and he'll provide future grace. Because the word says he gives you grace, and then what? More grace. So take the challenge, take the opportunity, and step into this new part of your life. Thanks.
Well, there's a couple preaches right there. I don't even need to preach tonight. So our school starts on Monday, September 12th. We're changing the schedule this year. We'd encourage you to get one of the brochures in the north lobby to get more information. But we're a part-time night school. It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, and then one Saturday, half day a month for outreach. And we actually have an early registration deadline coming up on June 7th for people who apply to the school and go through the interview process prior to June 7th. Their name is going to go into a partial scholarship lottery worth $500 towards tuition. So that's kind of a big deal, yeah? So that's less fundraising you have to do. And also tax time is here, so it's probably a good time to take advantage of extra funds that are coming in. The official deadline is the first week of August. That will be our official deadline for all applications need to be received at that point for the new school year. And also, I'd wanted to promote and announce our personal prophetic ministry that happens on Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 prior to this service. And you'll receive prophetic ministry from our graduates who've graduated from our school. So if you want a word of encouragement from the Lord, oftentimes we tell people that the prophetic you're going to receive is often just a confirmation of what he's already speaking to your heart. But it's a wonderful opportunity to get blessed over there on Wednesday night. So we'd encourage you guys to do that as well. Okay, so I'm going to talk with you guys here in just a couple minutes about something that I feel that the Lord has put on my heart for you. But just a show of hands, how many of you were here on Easter night? It was Sunday Easter night. Okay, so a few people. All right. So, oh, yeah, a lot of our students. Which, by the way, towards the end of service, I'm going to call our students up to come along the front here. We're going to prophesy over you guys, pray for you, and just end the night with a bang. So it's going to be awesome. Yeah, it's going to be really good. So I'm probably going to end the night, we'll just kind of see where Holy Spirit goes, with what I touched on that night on Easter. And it's about your garden with the Lord. But I want to encourage you guys, before I get started in my message tonight, I think Pastor Sam over here is such a beautiful example of someone who's teachable and somebody who's hungry. You know, the Bible says that the hungry will be filled. And so I would encourage you, when you come to church, not just, you know, I'm going to reserve this for school when I go to school, but when you come to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, position your heart like that, one of a learner, one of a student. It's so easy to come into service and just listen and nod your head and be like, oh yeah, I've heard that before, you know, and then just leave and go on about your day and not really be changed. But when we write stuff down, we really engage with not just what the speaker's saying, but what the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart. See, he's the master. I could sit up here and read scripture front to back, but the Holy Spirit is going to highlight what he wants to speak to you about. So I would encourage you, when you come to any service, just learn to steward. Start to become a student. And maybe that looks like just turning the recorder on your phone. Maybe it's taking notes on your phone. I promise I won't accuse you of updating your Facebook status. I'm watching. Oh, yes. I'm just kidding. I'm not watching. And, you know, maybe it's just the good old-fashioned pen and paper, which I also love. So, also, as I was preparing, I've just been spending some time with the Lord about this message, and I also wanted to give you kind of another tidbit. The message that I'm going to share with you guys tonight, he actually gave me in 2014, and I sat on my couch a few days ago and was just going through my journals. I'm an avid journaler, so if you're not a journaler, I just impart that anointing to you. Just do it however works for you. I think sometimes my journals intimidate people because they just, you know, stacks, just like volumes, you know. And then as I was looking through other journals, I came across the same message in 2015 that he gave me. And so as I began to pray and meet with him, he says, I want you to talk with him about the garden of their heart. So that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. But I want you to know that where you're at right now, this season in life, God has prepared you for 12 months and 24 months ago. Just like the message that I'm going to speak to you, he prepared me for this over the last 2 years. And where you're at right now, God is preparing you for the future. So just know he's always ahead. His grace goes before. His grace goes before you so that any season you enter into, you're already equipped. Did you know that you can actually find a garden in the desert of your life? We can walk through the wilderness and become so heavy and so weighted down. It can feel like the storms of life take us over, but like someone said, we only have authority over the storms we can sleep in. So no matter what season you're in, if I just won the lottery today and I lose it all tomorrow, I can still hold on to joy in my heart. Because really, it's a matter of how I see. All of life really is a matter of seeing, isn't it? It's all about perspective. It's about paradigm. So what I want to talk to you about tonight is the garden of our hearts. I'm going to read to you a few scriptures. The first one is in James. Feel free to cringe when I read this verse. It's okay. I cringe often when I read some verses like this. James says, consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So God wants to talk to us tonight about the garden of our heart, because oftentimes we come into the kingdom and we start doing all the Christian stuff. You know, sometimes we put on masks. Oh, that's how you worship? You know, we kind of find our way in this Christian walk. But God wants to invite us into a deeper place tonight. God wants to invite us into a new level of maturity. How many of you know that when we go from glory to glory, it's not some hyper-spiritual, woo, roller coaster thing, like, this is awesome. It is awesome, don't get me wrong. But there's stuff that we have to do within our lives so that the Lord knows we're ready for that next level of glory. So God wants us to mature. When we get saved into the kingdom, and if you don't yet know Jesus, I would love to introduce you to my best friend. He is the best friend you will ever meet. He's the best listener. He knows the desires of your heart. The things that you're afraid to tell anybody, those dreams that you have, that people have pushed down, that people have spoken words over you and said, oh, you will never. Jesus says, you can. You can do all things through me because I strengthen you. That's my best friend. And did you know if you're stuck in any kind of lifestyle that's destructive or heavy, any type of lifestyle that's shame-based, whether it's drug abuse, prostitution, porn addiction, whatever it is. I'm a recovering meth addict, okay? I got a crazy testimony. But did you know it was his kindness that led me to repentance? When I was doing some crazy stuff, nobody will ever probably hear the half of, because it'd probably be an X-rated movie. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Mom and Dad, they're live streaming. Love you. But Jesus didn't say to me, you're so dirty. You're not worth anything. That destiny you think you have, oh, nobody will believe it came from you. Nobody's going to want you. That's not the Jesus I know. When I was doing the deepest, darkest, dirtiest things, you know what he said to me? You are worth so much more than this. I have such a beautiful future for you. Let me lead you into this future. Do you trust me? See, when Pastor Kwame was up here, he wasn't just trying to land the plane from worship. Holy Spirit is tugging on some hearts tonight. If you don't know Jesus, let me tell you, he's been misrepresented. I've misrepresented him. The church has misrepresented him. Religion, I'm getting way off my sermon here. I don't even know where this is going, but woo, this is fun. But Jesus has been misrepresented. See, he's the best king that's ever walked this earth because he's the only king who came to serve. He says, hey, don't put that needle in your arm again. Let me hold you. Let me love you. Let me wrap my arms around you. Don't sell your body again. I love you. I've got good plans for you. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. They're plans to give you hope for an amazing future. And I can tell you, coming from that place of drug addiction, alcohol abuse, clubbing, partying, the whole thing, I have more peace in my heart today than I ever thought was possible. My Jesus will calm the storms of your heart. I know we're speaking to some people tonight. I know there's some people in here who don't yet know King Jesus, our best friend. But we want to pray with you at the end. He's not a man that lies. He's not a man that lies. Everything in the word about him is true. And oh, by the way, if you feel that God is a mean taskmaster, just sitting up in heaven, tapping his foot, tapping his finger on the table, waiting for you to step out of line and strike you with a lightning bolt, no, that's not my papa. You see, Jesus is the exact representation, the exact image of God. So I've also heard somebody say, anything that you can't find, that you believe about God, you can't find in the person of Jesus, you have reason to be suspect. Because he's a good dad who gives good gifts. And he only has good things to say about you. Yeah. All right, so on to my message. We'll see where this goes. So if we've been a Christian for some time, God is going to invite us into a place of maturity. But see, God doesn't do things by mandate. He doesn't crack a whip and say, oh, you better do this. Revelations 3 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And this is an example of his character. He knocks and he waits. He waits for us to invite him in. So the fullness of our destiny, God wants us to step into the fullness of our destiny. But we have a garden in our heart that we need to keep. So if you brought your Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter 6. And they'll put it up on the screen as well. Luke 6, 43 through 45. It says, a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. On the other hand, a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes or grapes picked from a bramble bush. A good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart. An evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. So Jesus says a tree will be known by its fruit. Our mouth oftentimes reveals what we just have inside. Our mouth reveals our storeroom. So my question to you is, what's growing in the garden of your heart? He says, from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you guys ever been with some people and maybe you're, you know, sarcastic, you're fired up, you're angry, you're gossipy, whatever it is, and you're like, blah, I didn't mean to say that. Oh my gosh, did that just come out of my mouth? But the reality of it is from out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when I say something I didn't mean to say, I've been cultivating that in the garden of my heart. You see, the enemy can't really keep us from our destiny. I would propose to you, he's got very, 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 very little authority or access over our destiny. I would propose to you that the bulk of our destiny, God has great plans for us, but a lot of that is up to us. A lot of that is up to how we manage our own hearts. You see, the enemy doesn't have any authority. We've heard Pastor Mike say that. And the only way that he gets access into our life is through agreement. So if I'm like, you know, if somebody does whatever, fill in the blank, oh no, I'm done. No, I'm going to be so pissed if that even happens, okay? You know, and these are the thoughts that are stewing that I'm kind of nurturing in the soil of my heart, that garden. Little weeds are going to pop up. So that when the enemy comes along, kind of like a fisherman, throws his hook out. You know, what's that called? Fishing pole. Hello. He's got this shiny little lure. And all of a sudden, like Pastor Kwame said, we get our eyes off Jesus. We get our eyes on the lure, the offense, the jealousy, the anger, whatever it is, the enemy can put a hook in. That's how he gets access into our life. It's by agreement. I was already nurturing that thing in my heart. The enemy just came along and put the hook in where I gave him access. This is about where we give him access, where we give him footholds in our life. See, if the enemy was to come up to you, just right up to you and say, hey, cheat on your husband, I'd be like, you're crazy. Get behind me, Satan. If the enemy was to come up to me and say, hey, murder your coworker, murder your brother-in-law who keeps doing whatever, I'd be like, you're crazy. Get behind me, Satan. But if I'm like, I don't know, my husband's just not nurturing me. He doesn't hear me. You know, he's not really sensitive. And then all of a sudden I find someone in church or someone on Facebook who, you know what I'm saying? Hey, you know, that message that you gave, Pastor Marla, it was so wonderful. That message that you gave, it really ministered to me. And then I'm like, well, this person's listening to me. This person's kind. This person has a tender heart. And then it starts to grow. It starts to grow in my heart. See, Jesus says adultery begins in the heart. From the moment that I've taken my eyes off of Jesus and looked at some eye candy on the way to church, guys, I'm keeping this real. I've already cheated on my husband. Jesus says, you say that murder is wrong, but I tell you, anybody who's angry with his brother, they're already nurturing the seeds of murder in their heart. All of this is about the garden, the soil that we're tilling within. So my question to you, are you cultivating fruit or are you cultivating weeds? I remember when our son was young, it was so cute. So like I would always talk to him and I would get down like this because I never wanted to tower over him and make him feel like he was less than. I would always tell him, you're a little person. You know, you're an equal person is what I would say with my body language. So I'd get down on my knees and he would tell me about something that the kids did at school. And I would say, honey. He'd be like, mommy, I'm so mad at them. Honey, watch your heart. Because that anger, that frustration inside is going to grow little weeds. And those little weeds are going to take over your heart. And the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies, not to hate our enemies. The Bible says if you love those who love you, what good is that to anybody? The Bible says we're to love those who hate us. We're to pray for those who persecute us. So are you cultivating weeds or are you cultivating fruit? In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus was led into the wilderness. And it's kind of like the example that I just gave you of adultery or murder. Jesus had just been baptized. The Holy Spirit just came down and landed on him to anoint him for ministry. And God said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." And after that, he went into the wilderness and the enemy tried to tempt him. He tried to tempt him with all sorts of stuff. If you're the son of God, you know, throw yourself down because the angels are going to catch you. And then lastly, when nothing was working, he says, all the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor, I will give to you, Jesus, if you bow down to me, Satan. He's like, are you kidding me? And I would propose to you that the reason why Jesus wasn't tempted by any of these things is because the seeds of insecurity, the need for significance, the need to have something to worship other than his dad was not even in his heart. He knew who he was and he knew whose he was. Even back to when he was 12 years old teaching in the synagogue, he was about his father's business. The thoughts of our heart become the words of our mouth. The words of our mouth become our actions and the content of our character, essentially the billboard of our reputation. And I would propose to you guys that when you're thinking about your destiny and you're thinking about all that God has for you, you're thinking about the amazing future. Believe you me, when I'm up here, usually I like to talk about the kingdom. I like to talk about the sons and daughters, kings and priests. Let's go out and conquer the world. But I really believe that God, he has all that for us. but he wants us to come to a place of maturity to where the fullness of our destiny won't crush us. See, the Bible says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And I used to always think, oh man, are you kidding me? I got two people to speak to. You know, are you kidding me, Jesus? I'm leading a small group of three people. I know I've got more significance than this. See, this is the problem with us as prophetic people, us as Christians. The Lord shows us our destiny. He shows us glimpses of our future. And then it's like, oh man, April 27, 2016, when's this ever gonna happen, right? But the reality of it is those small beginnings aren't necessarily leading two or three people or talking in front of a group of 10. It's how are you gonna deal with offense when it comes? I wanna see how she's gonna deal with this situation that's really unfair in the natural. It is. It's really unfair. But how many of you know that even though something might not be right in the natural, although we may have every right to be angry or be offended, in the kingdom of God, we don't. So God wants to know how she gonna do with, what's she gonna do with jealousy when everybody around her's promoted? Everybody around her gets elevated and I keep her hidden. What's she gonna do with jealousy? He wants us not to despise the day of small beginnings, because the destiny that he's got for every person in this room is really massive. But if he were to give it all to me right now, if he were to give it all to you right now, it might crush us. So the more we walk through offense, the more we walk through being misunderstood and being okay that we're misunderstood, because there's a King of Kings, a Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, the uncreated one, he understands. That's why Jesus was tempted in every way, not so we would have a story in a book, but so he could say, I am a living testimony. I am a living billboard for what it looks like to be unoffendable. I am a living, breathing, skin on bones, blood in my veins, testimony of what it looks like to be persecuted, to be hated, and turn the other cheek. He didn't do it so we can talk about him like he's some superhero. He did it so you can do it. He did it so you can do it. He doesn't want you walking around the same mountain over and over and over. He doesn't want you stewing in depression. He doesn't want you held down by fear. He doesn't want you caught up in anger so that you start dreaming about killing people. He doesn't want you to live in shame. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. He wants to break the chains off your life. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let him out. Let him out. Let him out. He did it for you. He did it for you. He did it for you. Time is too short. Time is too short. Time is too short. He says, if you don't live in the fullness of your destiny, I don't live in the fullness of my destiny, because I created you and there's only one of you. And when those creative gifts I put in you don't come out, part of me doesn't come out. Have you ever thought about that? There are inventions. Oh God. There are inventions, things this world has never seen, that he wants to do through you. He wants to change the world through you. But you gotta be brave. You gotta be brave. You gotta pull yourself up by your bootstraps and say, I'm not gonna let this thing rule my life anymore. I'm not gonna let this thing have control of me anymore. I am done with the chains. I don't care how I got them. I don't care where they came from. I don't care what my mama did or my papa did. I don't care what's 12 generations back. Who cares? I want freedom. I want freedom. Jesus, you and me, or we're going to change the world. Oh, Jesus, I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. My whole life, I give it to you. I don't care what they say. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what I don't have. I give it to you. Use me. Use me. Use me. Use little old me, Jesus. If you can use anybody, you can use me. Let that be the cry of your heart. I don't care who offends me. I don't care who doesn't understand me. I don't care who makes me mad. I don't care who steps on my toes. I've spent too much time with Jesus, too much time with my best friend, to waste any more time in interpersonal issues. But you gotta trust him. You gotta trust him. You have got to trust him. You have got to set out some core values, some non-negotiables. Because when the storms come, and believe you me, they will come, you know who you're anchored in. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you. God, I pray for every person in this room. Every person in this room, Lord, I declare they will not leave this room without being changed. God, we give you full permission. If this is you, I want you to stand up and put your hands up. We give you full permission. We give you full access, Papa. You have full access to our hearts. God, there's nothing that's sacred. There's nothing that's off the table. We're not going to give you 99% and hold on to one. We give it all to you, Jesus. 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 And Holy Spirit, I pray that you do what only you could do. Lord, your word says that with you, Holy Spirit, we can leap over an obstacle. We can climb over a wall. It doesn't matter how big it is. With you, we can do anything. We can do anything. Yeah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Uraba taraba shatiara maka urutu shiki araba. Urutu shiki ama ashatiatia aya. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I see Jesus rocking some of you, like a little baby, like a little baby. Wounds from when you were a little baby. He's comforting you, even when you didn't have a mom or a dad, or you had the crappiest childhood you can ever remember. He's just rocking you. He's singing you a lullaby. Just let him love you. Let him love you. He says, let me love you. Just let me love you. Let my love transform you. Let my love transform your heart. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I see like a cactus, like a cactus, and your heart's been hurt so much. You've been hurt so much that you've put these spiky things in place so no one can get close to you. Every now and again, maybe once a year, a flower will come out on the cactus. But the Lord wants to remove all those spines, and He wants to give you a soft heart again. Jesus, I pray for whoever that person is, Lord Jesus, that they would dare to trust You again, and You would bring people around them who would nurture them back to health. It says in Proverbs that a man who isolates himself satisfies the selfish desires of his heart, and he rebels against all sound judgment. So I would encourage you, if you don't have community around you, get community around you. People who can champion you in this journey. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. We can't do this alone. People might not always understand us. Sometimes it's just a journey with You and Jesus. But He gave us community for a reason. We cannot do this life alone. He never intended for anybody to be a lone wolf. I don't know who that is, but there's someone in here, maybe more than one person, and you've been isolating, and that's not healthy. The Lord wants to invite you back into fellowship, back into community. There's nothing that's unpardonable. There's nothing that's too much for forgiveness. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. I just keep hearing trust. Trust me and be brave. Trust me and be brave. I'm going to ask our students to come up. We're going to do it a little differently than what I said earlier. I'm just sensing we're to pray with a lot of folks tonight. And the prayer team too, if the CFTN prayer team is here, we'd love to have them come up as well. You know, everything started in a garden. Everything started in a garden. In the Garden of Eden, for Adam and Eve, they didn't know that they were naked. They didn't feel ashamed. They walked with God. They communed with Him. They fellowshipped with Him. And now God has made His garden in your heart. Open the altars now, and if you don't know Jesus, it would be my honor and my privilege, along with some of our students over here on this side, to introduce you to our best friend, Jesus. And like I said, I don't have a lot of time to go into my testimony, but I can promise you, I went from a life of chaos. I was suicidal. I was a meth addict. I was in a coma. To a life of peace and a life that I really thought was never even possible this side of heaven. So we'd love to introduce you to our best friend and begin that journey, the best journey you'll ever be on. And then if you want us to pray with you and stand with you for whatever you know is in your heart, those things that hold you back, and you're not sure why you keep going around the same mountain, but you're ready to be done and you're ready to move on, we want to pray with you. okay? So, Father, thank you so much for this amazing, oh, Jesus, this moment in time where you met us and you talked with us about the invitation to go deeper, the invitation to walk into maturity. Yeah, yeah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Papa. Amen. All right, so come on down and we'd love to pray with you guys.
and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Night and day, let it sit.